is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in, ready to start 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. All right, let's take the usual time to make the usual preparation for the intake of the Word of God. Your mental attitude, your being filled with the Holy Spirit is the key that makes it possible for you to benefit from our time together under face-to-face teaching. We know that this is God's plan for your life. This is God's plan for believers to organize their lives in such a way as they can make it here and be in fellowship and benefit from the information that in this day of your life, God has for you from His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the grace benefits You provide us with, that enables us as believers to continue to function in this capacity, even considering the tremendous amount of evil and lawlessness that is afoot in these last days. Bless our time together in these verses. May we go away with further assurance and comfort with regard to the information communicated. In Christ's name, amen. The topic of assurance and Christian love continues from the previous chapter. I mean, chapter breaks aren't always, they're not inspired. They're very helpful, obviously. And we're very thankful that we have a Bible that is broken down into chapters and verses so we can readily find where we're at. This was something that was an innovation in the church age and a very helpful one. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever is the simple adjective, pas, all, anyone, whoever you might, it might be, believes. We have a present participle of the basic verb, pistuo, to believe. What? The object of the participle is that Jesus, the historical Jesus, which many people believe there was a historical Jesus, that Jesus, and that was His human name, divinely authorized human name from birth. This was assigned to Him by God, not His parents. That Jesus is the Christ. Present active indicative of I me, with a definite article, with the noun Christos. That He is the Christ. That's the New Testament equivalent, of course, to the Old Testament, Mashiach or Messiah. That Jesus and Christ and Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one, if you will. Is the Christ is born perfect passive. The passive voice indicates that the individual receives the action in birth, both natural and spiritual. The individual is passive in the sense that they receive the action of, in this case, a type of birth, a spiritual birth. Ganao means to be born. Of God is the preposition ek, with the definite article with the noun theos. And everyone, let's advance that to the next level. That's the first level, salvation adjustment. Described here under the idea of a second or a new birth, a heavenly birth. And everyone who loves Him, excuse me, And everyone and whoever, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Little change in the translation here. Not in terms of the sense at all. Everyone is genpos, and the definite article with the present participle of agapao parallels the present active participle of pistuo in the first line. And everyone who loves him who begot, the definite article with the aorist active participle of genao, loves him, present active indicative, who is begotten of him. I know it's a little awkward, but that's the way it goes. Also, loves him, who is begotten from him. It's repetitious. All right, moving on to the next verse. Now, by this we know, standard construction in 1 John, by this we know, present active indicative, that we love, agapao, the children, plural, child, the children of God, when we love God, when we love God, present active subjunctive. The subjunctive is thrown in here to indicate potentiality. We may not perform in this regard, or we may. When we love and observe, that's do, that's the present subjunctive also, his commandments. For this, this is the pronoun, for this is, keeps on being, present indicative, I me, the love, definite article with agape, the love of God, one could translate for God, or the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Notice again that we have a present subjunctive, tereo, indicating potentiality, volition, maybe we will, maybe we won't idea. Antole is the commandments with a definite article. The commandments are the royal imperatives for this dispensation. That we keep his commandments, and then he makes an additional observation. And his commandments are not, strong negative uk, are not burdensome. This is the adjective, noun feminine plural, baros, means heavy. Probably get our words like barometric pressure. Heavy, difficult, synonyms. This is a good translation. They are not, strong negative, keep on not being, a burden, burdensome, too much for us. All right. The theme of Christian love continues from chapter 4, verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth, action and according to doctrine. That should be the standard parameters for our demonstration of Christian love. A believer, child of God, is defined here, again, as the one who is born of God. The way to achieve this, of course, is to believe that the historical Jesus, this is put another way, but is the Christ or Messiah. Note 2:23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. So different language is used to bring this into focus. and chapter 4, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus, and that's another way of saying every human or every source, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. The only requirement for the new birth, resulting in status, in the status of child of God, is faith in Jesus Christ, John 1, verse 12. Obviously, a lot of this in 1 John echoes what we have in the Gospel of John, where this is brought to our attention. But as many as received him, referring to salvation, to receive someone is to, in a sense, welcome or bring them into your periphery in a positive way. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or authority to become children of God, and that it is defined here in terms of the mechanics, even those who believe in his name. Evidence that one is born again. Love for God. Love for believers. And keeping God's commandments. That is a part of the assurance package that a believer has. That you have genuine love for God, you love fellow believers, and you keep his commandments. Those who do not keep his commandments does not mean that they're not believers. This is not to conclude that believers who do not do these things are not necessarily believers. All these things require volition. The Bible is replete with references to negative and corrupt believers who are not demonstrating these things in their lives. The story of the prodigal son is an example. But he did return to where he needed to be, and picked up and moved forward. So the Bible is replete with references to negative and corrupt believers. We cannot isolate this from the rest of Scripture any more than you can't do that with the Bible and be where you need to be. So at the moment of salvation, and this is something we picked up on in 1 John, we may or may not have thought about it in these terms. At the moment of salvation, the believer for the first time truly loves God. All other statements are, you cannot come to God and have a relationship and sidestep the issue of who and what Christ is. So, at the moment of salvation, that believer for the first time truly loves God as well as the family of God. It's a demonstration of love for God. You could put it in other terms, but we will put it in the terms here, love of God. Anyone who has ever believed in Christ has demonstrated that much, at least, love for God. And by so doing, in a way, acknowledges the rest of God's children. And so that's the first act of genuine divine love on the part of the individual. Only the one born of God has the capacity to love just as God loves. Carrying that to the next level, again, the emphasis here has been to distinguish between human love, which is fine and most definitely has its place, and divine love. It's a supernatural love. When you and I are in fellowship and relating ourselves to fellow believers, we demonstrate this love. Now, we can't do it apart from an understanding of the truth. Love and truth go hand in hand, divine love. Perfect love, which is activated in our lives when we are in fellowship, perfect love consists of specified actions, and mental attitude for other members of God's family. Proper mental attitude, proper relationship to other believers, and all this is preconditioned by the doctrine you should have in your soul. It might even include something like, oh, I got to separate from that person for the time being. The person gets their act together, they're immediately back in the periphery of fellowship. Or all the other kinds of things that might fall upon us with regard to our relationships. This is a big part, obviously, a huge part of the Christian life is our interaction with other believers. By this we know, in verse 2, is a reference to Christian assurance or confidence. In verse 2, John draws a conclusion from verse 1 that may not be what we expect. Normally, John says that we show our love for God by how we love or treat one another, how we relate to one another. Here, John's approach is that we demonstrate our love for God in how we love one another. Love for other believers, point 15, is contingent upon our love for God. You can't have one without the other. I mean, in a moment in time, you can't have true love for God and be manifesting it and not have love for a fellow believer. Whatever that actions are called for under those conditions. So love for other believers is contingent upon our love for God. Our love for God is evidenced by keeping the divine imperatives, His commandments. That should be very obvious and is so clear that any claim to loving God and not aligning yourself with His commandments doesn't work. The person doing that is lying. They're walking around in darkness. They will not comply with commandments. Directives, and this everything from direct commandments, the do's and the don'ts, as well as general operating protocol for the royal family in time, which you learn in Bible class. And to step aside from that, and I'm not just talking about I got out of fellowship and I got back in fellowship and the rest of it. I'm talking about throwing it aside and walking away from it. How can you be demonstrating love for God in a direct violation of a commandment? The Bible is very strong about this. The fellow who takes the least of these commandments, Jesus says, and teaches believers the different, will be least in the kingdom of God. Again, I'm not talking about a person can violate real big time a commandment, rebound, and get back on track. But short of rebound, or a stronger word because it involves other things, repentance, changing your mind, this would be where someone has rejected a doctrine and violated it and then came to their senses and recovered from it. Any act of rebound is judging yourself, acknowledging you were out of line, and we do it all the time. We should, at least. Because of our propensity to fall prey to our sin nature. But I'm also talking about a level of, even when you're out of fellowship, you do know, don't you, that this is the directive will of God for believers, and to violate it and keep violating it or throw it aside, that's the extreme, then that person is not exhibiting love for God or love for fellow believers. Period. And you probably can think of people that you know that have put themselves into that category. And so they live in delusion and walk around. That's why you have so many different versions of Christianity and approaches to the Christian way of life out there. At some point or another, they just discarded it. Well, we don't do that. I'm under these commandments. I'm under the directive will of God. The commandments put me in this frame where I need to operate within that realm. And I can't come along and suddenly say, oh, that doesn't matter anymore. We have witnessed a major violation and major violation of right pastor. We witnessed it. I can't discard you and say, bye-bye, I'm going somewhere else, and be in the will of God after that fact. I could repent of it later, get my act together, and deal with my life after the fact, but I cannot do that and be in the will of God. If you believe anything about what we've been trying to communicate to you with regard to the directive will of God for the royal family, I think about this because I've been challenged on it more than once. And so I have to reiterate it, because everything you learn, inevitably, you're going to be tested on it. You're going to have to stand up to this if you are in the will of God and tell people this is wrong if you have opportunity and are around somebody. You can't shrug this off and be in the will of God. One of the most powerful statements to me in Scripture with regard to the fact that you hold fast to right pastor and right congregation is church number 6, Sardis. Go reread it. Meditate on it. I taught it, and I taught it right. The majority of believers in that church, that was the church, remember. You have a reputation that you are alive. Who's that reputation resonating with? It's not the world of unbelievers. It must be other churches somehow thought they were, for whatever reasons that I haven't figured out, why they had a reputation that you are alive, but you are dead. And you have a contingent within this that hasn't given over to this, like the majority. Again, backing up, each church had a messenger to whom the letter was written, who was to distribute the information. And depending on who the messenger was, it could have been joyous or painful. Because the pastor has to get up and say, I'm at fault. Well, then we're all leaving. No. We all can get our act together and press on. That's the story of that. So this is a high standard. Today, people get upset in churches. They just leave. I'm leaving. So they bounce all around. They're in no way compliant with this principle. Yes, I do it for your protection, and I do it so as to define this. I'm not trying to, in that way, run your life. I'm trying to explain to you what the marching orders is for the royal family as related to the divine institution of the local church and how it's set up. Because you see, if you can just leave, and they all believe it out there, I say all, they generally all believe it out there. And so pastors are bouncing all over the place. Some stay for a long time, some stay briefly, but they're always, well, they can go or they can retire. If they're in good health and can do their job. Remember these things. God will protect the positive volition of a local church. He will allow things to run amok for a while. And then he will intercede. That's in those churches. Bona fide lampstands. This is holy ground. He allows people to fail, but there is the warnings, and you can correct it and get back where you need to be. This is just simply something that when it wasn't in our face so much, we taught it. Yeah. So we got challenged on it as a local body in Christ. That's just one area of a commandment. We have all these commandments, and that's the evidence of the degree or of the love of the individual believer by keeping his commandments. Jesus taught this in John 14:21. He who has my commandments, how do you have them? We got exposed to them in Bible class. You were taught them. Oh, this is the will of God for my life. This isn't the will of God for my life. Directive will of God. And he who has my commandments, the function of gap under face-to-face teaching. It's amazing the number of commandments people don't even know. Okay, I know it seems a little daunting, but as you go through life, you will figure out that I'm supposed to do this. This is what God would expect of me in these circumstances. How I'm to handle a variety of situations and keeps them. Has them is simply, I know what it is. I know what the directive will of God is. Keeping them is application under all the different circumstances that we have. Is the one who loves me. The reverse of that is, the one who doesn't, to that degree, does not love God. We're all guilty of not keeping a commandment here and there, even though we might know what it is. We heard it in Bible class. Do you want to go read through the New Testament, for instance, and start jotting down commandments? Like a book of promises where you jot down all as you learn a promise from God and His Word, you take note of it. Some things are presented real clearly as a promise. Some are implicit. Some are explicit. And that's true of commandments. We have negative commandments like, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the pattern of some is. Who got in a habit of missing Bible class. Okay, their job overwhelmed them. I see that. The job consumed them. Or whatever other things. And they are not, apparently, making the necessary adjustments to clear that up. Well, they have a job that takes them out all the time. Weeks on end. One after another. I think I'd be looking for another place to land and make a living. I'd first pray about it. God, this is killing me spiritually. I'm out of class. Okay, I get the tape and I get the doctrine online. That's at least helpful. But I'm not there like I should be. What do I need to do in my life to make this happen? I'm not going to just jump and quit my job today, but I'm praying about it. And I want to do your will, and I want to have that right in my life. Okay. It's a basic commandment. I've been criticized. Why do you mention that all the time? We're here. You're not the only one here. I don't frame this just for you. I frame it for the entire body of Christ that God has put in front of me. And so you could at least sit there and say, I'm compliant with that one. I got that one nailed. And be glad that you haven't allowed, I'm tired. I don't want to hear review. See, all the things believers do that get themselves in trouble. I know that already. No place for repetition, huh? And again, you're not the only person in the congregation. I got other believers too. In fact, some of the time when I've been criticized, I also get some encouragement. Jack, that really helped me, the review of that. Honestly, that really, not everybody has to come up and tell me how great I am. I don't need that, okay? Just kidding. Get your sense of humor back. That's one of the first things we lose when we get all screwed up. We lose our sense of humor. You got to have a sense of humor in the plan of God, or you're going to make it. So anyway, that's for you. And my demonstration of my love for God is my willingness to teach the little lambs too. The new ones that come in. I get excited when I see a new person. I don't go nuts. Oh, and I think they're going to stay forever and line up. But it's my one opportunity to evangelize them. Phase one, phase two. And I take that as a joy to do that. I want them to once in their life cross paths with the truth. Now, a few people walked in here. They were out of here so quick it wasn't funny. You'd be like a shot out of a cannon. I mean, okay. You didn't. You just walked in. Oh, I'm going to go to that church. You know, let's drive in here on Easter and see what we got going on. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. What do you suppose that means? I mean, we have keeping commandments. Both, you're in possession of them. You're not like so many of the dummies running around out there that haven't had this squared away with them. They don't have that squared away. So they don't even know a lot of these commandments. They know some of them, but big deal. I mean, it's like, you know, okay, I got these three. No, you've got to have a good package of information. Yeah, you can only operate at the level of spiritual growth and understanding where you're at. But for a lot of you, you've been under this for decades. Decades. It's the same doctrine, same information. And you have to keep them. Sometimes it's easy, easy, easy. Sometimes it's not quite so easy. As you well know, I have people who come here that aren't exactly feeling 100% physically. They get up and they get here. They make it. Now, I'm not, obviously, I don't have to explain to you, if you're contagious, you're sick as a dog, stay home. Same with your kids. Don't bring them in here. We'll get through that. Then you're off the hook. You don't have to keep that commandment. All you, you go online, hey, let's listen to the hour. 1 hour. You missed an hour or two. Takes no time. 4 Bible classes a week. How onerous is that? How heavy a burden is that when you and I will spend multiple hours pursuing, looking at, doing whatever, online, this, that, good, bad, and ugly. How much does it take? So, maybe me harping on it is because some believers that most definitely know better have chosen not to. Their lifestyle is consuming them. It's killing them spiritually and sometimes health-wise. Nothing changed. Oh, the complexion of the church did, less people, but nothing changed doctrinally. These commandments remain the same. So, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The demonstration of your level for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is your willingness to take what you have and apply it. And yes, even among good believers, there's going to be different levels, obviously. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. We left that disclose myself to him. I don't know. It's one thing is believers who have doctrine beyond just I know that. Okay. They have with the acquisition of knowledge, they have insight. They see it in a deeper way than they would if they just, oh, I know that. They have insight. That's as far as I can take that right now. Will disclose myself to him. God has an intimacy with positive volition that keeps the commandments and brings recall of doctrine and truth into their soul. People tell me things they've learned from the Word of God. You know, I wasn't feeling real well. But you know, I remember that story you told us, that you exposed us to in the Philippian epistle, where this individual delivered this offering and was almost dead with his sickness that he had. Stepping up and applying at that level. He became sick on the road, on the trip, and he didn't quit. He suffered and suffered, recovered, and got the money to Paul, the offering. So sometimes application is under duress. In human life, some people in the midst of pain and difficulty still step up and apply Bible doctrine. So this subject is taught throughout John, in the Gospel of John. It's a simple formula. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's 14:15. 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus had to do it perfect, obviously. He kept all the commandments all the time. So he's on a whole different level. So, again, it's a very clear formula. People that don't want to do this, then they are not currently demonstrating love for God. They can tell you whatever they want. I would use this extreme for people that have illegitimately bailed from our church. I don't hate them. I hate what they've done. I despise it. As we all should. I don't wish ill for them. In 2 John, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Nothing new, particularly, just in a new format, nothing new was being taught to these saints to whom this letter was sent. You have no need that I write anything to you. It's like what I can say to a lot of people at Maranatha Church. Maybe not to that extreme, but that you already know this stuff. Decades of exposure. Yes, we need to hear it repeated. We need to be refreshed, re-encouraged. I hope probably very few of you walked in here today. You knew this. You had this down pat that you can't love God and throw his commandments overboard. That's fake religion, fake Christianity, fake spirituality. They pick the ones they want, but they don't like the others. It doesn't work that way. It absolutely does not. Note by contrast, 1 John 2:4, the one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth isn't in him. Now, I don't know how you would take all that when you apply it to certain people. Oh, they know a lot about the Bible. There's a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. But they don't want to keep his commandments. Big ones, they push aside. They may push others as okay, but other ones they dispense with. Revelation 14:21. Here is the patience of the saints, perseverance of the saints, who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. In verse 3a, John repeats the fact that love of God and keeping his commandments are inseparable. I think there is a lot of repetition in 1 John. Stated this way, that way, context-wise, and so forth. We just need to be, as believers here at Maranatha Church, reassured that our salvation is as simple as believing in Christ, acknowledging, confessing, believing, and all the other terminology, and that we got that down, and that we're in the right place because we are in the process of keeping the commandments, figuring them out, and implementing them. There's so many of them, but we have had so much time to implement and set these things up with regard to the function of the local church here, as well as what you do in your personal life and living out in the world and out there. The royal imperatives specify how we are to conduct ourselves toward fellow members of the royal family under a whole variety of circumstances. Some are straightforward. This believer is suffering. Let's rally to their aid. Prayer. Maybe financial help, maybe food, maybe visiting, maybe whatever. We'll come to their aid. We're there for them. We're not going to intrude on their life, but we will come to their aid. Sensitivity to things. I can do that. I can help that believer out. I know their niche and circumstances. So I have something for them. Thoughtfulness. Hey, you're out there doing this. Why don't you come eat with us tonight? It's easy stuff. Whatever it is. Pray about it. God alerts you to applications that you and I can make towards other believers in this church. Do not withdraw yourself from positive volition. Well, positive volition is here and marching according to it. Have a desire to be in their company if possible. Fellowship with them. Whatever's happened in your life, friends, family, bailed, that's not your fault. You're to be saluted. You hung in there. This is a family. It's the one that will stand the test of time. Human families dissolve, end through death, and that's it. Marriages end with death. But the royal family goes on and on and on and on forever. And of course, when we hook up with all them, we'll do so under perfect conditions. And we'll have all kinds of time to meet and fellowship with people who lived before us and after us and down the line. John goes on to assert in verse 3b that these commandments are not beyond our ability to keep. God does not. If you couldn't keep a commandment because of physical circumstances, you're not required to keep it then. If you couldn't make it today, somebody, because they are quite ill, then you don't have to keep that commandment. It's obvious. You're off the hook on momentarily for that. That these commandments are not beyond our ability to keep, or even that they are an excessive burden. We can keep them. We can do them. That's the whole idea. Don't just be a hearer of Bible doctrine. Be a doer. In all realms of life, if you're just a hearer and you're an expert and you can rattle it all off, but you don't do it, it is of no value. Faith without works is dead. In phase two, put another way in Scripture. The duties imposed on us are light. When there is a willingness on the part of the individual to please God. Now you get a funky mental attitude. Oh, I don't want to have to do that again. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, blah, blah. All the usual little stuff that people can do. When you step up and decide you're going to apply Bible doctrine towards each other, towards your situation, they are not a burden. If I got up in the morning and I had a bad attitude, I'm out of fellowship, and everything seems, then I'm not right with God, and I need to get myself in fellowship. I need to clear the air. I need to pray. I need to say, help me to glorify you today and do the things. I'm not feeling as good as I normally do. But so what? So what? I'm going to serve you. I'm going to think doctrine. It lifts you up out of this funk that we can so easily get into. There's lots so much out there that if you're exposed to it constantly, it's discouraging. It's a real drag. Just go through a segment of the national or local news. Personally, and I'm not being self-righteous, I just turn away from it. And people are out there debating it and all, and it's a mess. It's not edifying. And it isn't going to change anything by harping about it, because it's the way it is in the last days. The circus. The political circus, and all the other stuff that's running amok. What do you expect for the United States Babylon at the very end of its history? I could spend all kinds of time up here talking about all the awful stuff that is just incidentally I run across. I mean, I had to look for it. And everybody shrugs their shoulders. Oh, this is okay. Meet my husband. This is a guy. And he's a politician. Now they throw it on the, they throw it up there. These two males, young guys, they're married. Only in their brains are they. Not in any other way. But this is A-okay. This is universally accepted today. This certainly doesn't line up with any of God's commandments. Even for an established-minded person. So this is what we get. It's coming to an end. And that's my reassurance. The party is almost over for these people. And I don't know where we're going to go with regard to this virus either. But I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay calm. Throw that one into the mix. Amazing. Well, we had a bunch of commandments related to fear, didn't we? And do not be afraid. And all this other scripture is supposed to help you and I out to work our way through this. But again, don't worry about the future. So just one day at a time. You get through today, get through the day, get through the next one. You got to step up next week, go to work, do whatever you got to do, get through it. Ask God, pray, help me. You know what the issues are that you're struggling with. So, those who find the Christian way of life a burden are unwilling to prioritize their lives around the truth. They got all these other little irons in the fire. It's easy to have that happen. This. Oh, now I got to go to church. Oh, I got to do this. And stop pursuing the things of the cosmos. The two, and you have to work that one out for you. There is a commandment in the Bible not to love the cosmos. And the things of the cosmos. Be preoccupied with these things. I always like to use sports fanatics. I mean, 24/7 talk shows discussing what's going to happen and on and on and on and on. And they're all heading towards the cliff. And these are otherwise smart and accomplished human beings. Look at what they feature on TV as important. This ought to be the time when alarms are sounded. Well, they're going to trip on into the trib, and they're not going to continue to ignore this any longer. It's going to be too big that they can't push this under the carpet. It's getting too big. The wrath of God is already falling upon humans, and it's going to increase as we get further into this mess. Okay. The commandment, do not love the world or the things in the world. That's that we already looked at. We looked at the Romans 1, 12:2. You're familiar with these, but maybe everyone isn't, but it's things. Do not be conformed to this world, the cosmos system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now that's a process. That isn't just something you hop into. But not being conformed to the cosmos. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, that's two kinds of Christians, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, running with the lust pattern. Jesus said, His way is light, as we all have in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 29. take my yoke. He uses an analogy to a farm animal who is placed in a yoke and who has the responsibility of pulling a plow, let's say. Take my yoke upon you. This is the marching orders for believers, the directive will of God, however you want to express it, upon you, and learn from me. It's a process. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, people may raise up and argue with that. Oh, this is so difficult. You put all your spiritual principles in front of you with regard to a test, and it is a lot lighter than if you were running with it without it. Those who live their lives under God's commandment will attest to this fact. I got through a very difficult test, you might say, very difficult, worked my way through it, and, you know, in some ways, it was a breeze. I had inner peace and confidence, and I knew what I had to go through, and I did it. God's grace, the requisite strength He'll give us physically and spiritually, is there for us in our severest trials. We can get under fear, we can get under pressure. We got to break out for it. Paul did that when he was about to do his Corinthian campaign because he'd been beat up and mistreated once, and he figured he's going to step into another one and he'd get out of fellowship over it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And they didn't lay a finger on him in Corinth. They didn't touch him. All right, we will deal with the ultimate victory in the second session here. Let's take our break.